Dear radio friend, we continue today in our series on the love for strangers, the love for the brethren, and now in these days, especially the love of our children. You will know if you have been tuning in that we have focused on godly Christian parenting, and especially the last couple of times on the awesome calling that we fathers have in the home. And today, just to be fair, I would like to address the mothers for what a glorious calling the women have, and what a wonderful place our wives and our mothers have at home. And there is a word of God in Titus 2 and verses 4 and 5 upon which we base our thoughts today. We have here the word of God that the Apostle Paul gave to Titus, and the word that Titus had to bring to the women folk, and especially the older women, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. See, in this passage of scripture, Titus is being exhorted to preach and teach those things which become sound doctrine. That is, doctrine which is wholesome, doctrine which is healthy, doctrine that will promote godliness and bring glory to the name of God. When women perform their God-given calling to be keepers at home, then the word of God is glorified and the home is nourished. This is wholesome doctrine. I know that this aspect of rearing our children, the viewpoint that mothers should be keepers at home, might sound old-fashioned. Nevertheless, it is the wonderful word of God, and it is something which older women are reminded to set the tone and example for in the church, so that they, by their instruction and example, might also help the younger women to see the glorious place. Mighty influence, you know, are the women folk to the daughters, not only, but to the sons in the Church of Jesus Christ. And though some might say, oh, you know, this is male chauvinism, or oh, this is old-fashioned, or oh, this is looking down on the women, I remind you, what is that saying again? The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And to think that the women have such an awesome calling right from the birth on, even before, to conceive those children and then rear them at home and have such a direct touch on these children who one day may end up to be servants of God or whatever occupation God may give to them, that we should not look down on such a high calling, but we should honor our wives and our mothers, and we men ought to encourage them in their God-given calling. There's so much pressure, you know, out there in the world for women to leave the home and to join the task force and to be career-minded and to get on with life and make something of themselves. And then our women, Christian women, even in our own churches, become a bit discouraged and pessimistic and begin to think, wow, you know, do we really have to stay home, as if this is a burden? And the Word of God everywhere shows us that indeed this is a blessing. 1 Timothy 2:15, notwithstanding she shall be saved through childbearing. 1 Timothy 5:14, teach the younger women to marry and bear children and guide the home. Here, Titus 2 verses 4 and 5 presents the same truth that the rearing of children is so important that mothers ought to be exhorted and encouraged to be keepers at home. You know, these God-appointed workers at home, and I like to call it that way, when people ask me to fill up forms or my wife and they say, do you work? And I think it's ridiculous to put no, because they do work. And we usually fill the form saying God-appointed workers at home, because they work and they work hard. You know, imagine if we men had to pay our wives for all the work that they do at home, day in and day out, we would go broke. Thank God that they don't expect us to pay them for all the work they do. The fact is, they are God-appointed workers at home. They're identified in Titus 2, verses 4 and 5 as keepers at home. It is important that we understand what this means so that we do not misunderstand or in any way degrade the high calling of motherhood. No, it does not mean that mothers are the guards who must defend the home. Sometimes we think keeper means guard. That's a different word in the scriptures. Although, of course, with the fathers, they also defend the home in a very wonderful way. It does not mean either that keeper, that word, that they are simply, you know, supposed to be doing only all the cleaning and the washing. You know, we talk about housekeeping as if that's all that word means. Although I don't help my wife that much at home, I think men can surely pitch in more to also help with the washing and the cleaning. But this word keep has a beautiful meaning, and we need to understand that. They are God-appointed workers at home. The word is made up of two words, house and dwelling. So they ought to be mindful of the house and the dwelling place of the family. And so that word with the other word, which is carer or worker, gives to us the concept that they are to be the caregivers at home. They are the ones who God has appointed to keep the home and to look to the welfare of the home, to love the husbands, to love the children. Men too, of course, must join with them, and he has a calling especially to lead and defend and provide, but God has been pleased to give a helpmeet so that that aspect of the family will be also taken care of. And the older women must set the tone, teach the younger to be domestically inclined. I think that's a good word, and I'm not sure if we have downgraded that word. The idea of keeper at home has that idea of domestic needs, the needs that are very important in the home, where the people living in this home have many, many needs, eating and drinking and having clothes and having shelter and having a comfortable environment and a good atmosphere. Now I realize that the modern day mother who juggles between home and job and hundreds of other things, this may, as I said in my introduction, sound old-fashioned or maybe even male chauvinistic. But I ask you, consider with me in the light of God's word, whether or not the underlying truth of this word is indeed not only precious, but has a lot of practical consequences. If indeed you want to say this is old-fashioned, well, then the word of God is very often old-fashioned, but for a good reason. It looks to the needs all around. It's wholesome, you see. It doesn't just focus on the need of the family to have good income and to have food on the table, but it focuses on that blessed atmosphere of the home and the need to have somebody taking care of the environment in the home. And God gives that role to the mother. She is the woman. She's the caregiver. It's not a lesser or a higher. It's just different. It's a different, glorious calling. Children need not only father, but they need mother. And the house not only needs the headship and leadership and defense of the men, but also needs the motherliness and the care and the affection that alone mothers can give in the home. That's why you see they are identified, these keepers at home in our text, with the word love. Did you ever notice that? That they love their husbands, that they love their children. That's the emphasis of keepers at home. They are the mothers who must see, and the older ones should remind their children what a glorious calling that they can look to and be devoted to the needs of their God-given husbands and their God-given children. The older woman should not be saying to the younger woman, come on, get on with your life. Why are you so devoted to your husband? You have your own life to live, don't you? Why does your life center around those children? Come on, life is more than just those kids. Dear mothers out there, you who may be despised in the world or even And what a shame if you are ever despised in the church. I know, admittedly, that happens. But I say to you, on the basis of God's word, what a glorious calling you have to be devoted to your husband and to be devoted to your children. And if in that day of days when Christ says to you, well done, godly mother of Israel, because you loved your husband and you loved your children and you gave your family such a wonderful home, well done. Wouldn't that be such wonderful words to hear? Wouldn't it be? Does your church or your Christian friends say to you, don't have children? They're unbearably difficult. They're boring. They are burdensome. Oh, maybe have one or two. Why have so many? Go out to work. Or worse yet, do older women, maybe even your grandparents say to you, I will take care of your children. Or we can find a nice nursery for them, instead of showing you the right way according to Titus 2 verses 4 and 5. Then hear the word of God, will you? Even the world knows how to recognize Mother's Day. Once a year, at least. And I realized there's a lot of sentiment around Mother's Day. The other day I was in a plaza on the road and stopped by. And I kid you not, there was these cards that were being sold. I don't know how many feet by how many feet you could hang it on the wall just to honor a mother's on Mother's Day. And I nearly bought one, but my wife was in the car, so it wouldn't have been a surprise, so I did not. But what I am saying is, as the minister of the gospel, our sentiments ought to be based on the word of God. There is nothing wrong. In fact, it is proper to give mothers their God-given honor. They have been God-appointed workers at home to be dedicated to their husbands and to their children and to give that home the touch that only mothers can give. Both husbands and sons, are you listening out there, ought to know the place of the woman and honor the women and honor your wives and your mothers. And if they are not convicted, pray with them and for them and remind them that they have a wonderful place and we appreciate them. What work do they do, these who are called to be keepers at home, so that we can focus now on the rearing of our children at home? They are to be instructed, verse 5, to be discreet, to be chaste, to be keepers at home, to be good, to be obedient to their own husbands. You see, the word to be discreet is a translation of the same root word for sober, which is found throughout this passage of scripture in Titus 2. And that word means awake to reality. Do not be drunk. You don't only get drunk when you drink too much wine, you know. You can get drunk by becoming covetous. You can become drunk by just going to and fro with every wind of doctrine. You can become drunk by being so attracted to the things of the world or to your job and to your career that you don't realize what life is all about. Older women, teach the younger woman to be sober. Sober. To wake up to reality. Not to fall into the world's temptations. So that when they are watching television and the internet, and when there is such attraction, you know, in the place of work, wow, you know, you can meet friends, perhaps you can even meet a new man at work. You don't have to just be with your husband. You can make other friends. Maybe you can even, you know, find another life partner and all that kind of thing, which is really a danger, isn't it, at the workplace for our women. But we must encourage and exhort our mothers. God's word, which is good for us, which is wholesome doctrine, has placed the mother at home for a wonderful purpose, that they may be single-mindedly devoted to their God-given husbands and be faithful to their God-given children. And I challenge all those who are out there to tell me whether this is right or wrong. Today, we have mothers, women, at the workbench just as the fathers. And don't get me wrong, men too should be keepers at home, and they too should be devoted to their wives and to their children. And it's a terrible thing that men go running after other women at the workbench. But isn't it true that now that's happening to women too? They are going out there in the world and they are tempted to say, hey, why must I be a one-man woman? Why must I be devoted just to my own husband and to my own children? And pretty soon you have all kinds of marital infidelity and all kinds of havoc. And it just strikes me, you know, today people build big mansions. Nobody's home. Nobody's at home. That family life is going, gone. And we need to restore that by the solid preaching of God's word, Be awakened to it. Be not drunk. Be discreet. Next. Chastity. Their God-given work demands that they be chaste, they be clean, they put away all impurity so that they keep the home and themselves pure. Mothers, is your home chaste? Are you a good example to that chastity in dress, in your television programs? If the world influences you, then your influence will spawn to the husband and to the children. Whereas if you are godly, that will influence also the conversation at home. And I know the man is the leader, but who spends the most time with the children? The mothers. Because they're home, cooking, cleaning, reading, singing, being with their children. They need to be a moral, godly influence to these children. And I ask you again, and I challenge you again, is it not the case today that when men goes out to work and the woman also goes out to work, then there's a void in the home? And what is influencing these children and these teenage children? The television and the internet and their friends and all kinds of things in the home, when actually there ought to be the God-appointed person there that should be governed by these principles, sobriety and also now chastity. Next we read that such a woman should be good and obedient. All this, of course, comes under love. Love for the husband, love and the children. Good here either means being beneficial to the home or morally upright. In either case, the mother ought to be, according to scripture here, obedient to their own husbands, following cheerfully the leadership of the men in the house, recognizing the importance of this calling, and then together with the husband, performing that parenting. Here I want to address myself to this matter again of single parents. I know I have counseled many who, because of sin or because of certain providential situations, have been compelled now to raise their children alone. And I am not saying that that is impossible, and I'm not saying that God in His mercy cannot raise up godly seed even with a single parent. But I am saying to you that God's word instructs us that in the home there ought to be father and mother, and that together father and mother rear these children. We need them both. And God has been pleased to delineate their callings. Right from the beginning, He said to the men that under the sweat of your brow you will work. And you will work so that you will provide for the home. And you will defend the home and you will lead the home. And He said to the woman that she will bring forth seed. And she will care for the home. And that is recommended by God not only, but the word of God clearly shows to us that that is the way it ought to be. And we need to maintain the word of God that, again, I say, highly honors motherhood, so that not both parents are outside the home. There may be situations where perhaps the man is handicapped, or perhaps he is unable to bring forth enough income for the family, that then the mother goes out to work and the man stays home. Who's to say that that is biblically sinful or wrong? I would not dare say that. But I would say that the way that the Word of God has presented to us godly Christian parenting, we need to have both father and mother caring for these children, and that there is a place for the man outside the home to work and a place for the woman inside the home. And then if there are exceptions, then they work it out in such a way that at least one parent is at home with these children. We've been talking about love for our children. We ought to know them and love them and have patience with them and care for them. And let us be faithful to the Word of God. We must maintain the Word of God, the highly honors mothers as keepers at home. Do you work or do you stay at home? I should take that back, shouldn't I? Do you work at home or do you work outside the home? Are you a homemaker? Are you a keeper at home? Are you honestly and sincerely able to say, I am a worker at home? What do? You care for your children? whether there be two or four or six or just one? Is that all you do? Don't you have a career? That's what maybe somebody will ask you. And you say, excuse me, that is my career and I love it. My lifelong passion, to care for my children. And if I do work part-time, or if I do something from the home, or even outside the home, it is subservient to this first priority. I've been appointed by God to love my husband, to love my children, to be keeper at home. But now I ask you this question. Do you really keep the home? You know, it is possible to go and be by name keeper at home and not really be doing that God-given calling. Just as, you know, it's possible to be a preacher and then waste away your time during the week and try to come up with a sermon or two on the weekend. That's terrible. That's wicked. Or for a man to say, hey, I'm going to work, you know, and he is taking a double job, so to speak, and he is all the time outside the home when actually he's malingering and maybe spending all his time with his friends at the bottle or in the bowling alley, and then he says, don't you know I'm supposed to lead the home, blah, blah, blah. That same thing can happen to women. Are you really home? Are you working at home? Are you staying at home in such a way that it is a delight and not a burden, and that you are not malingering all those hours away, but you are really dwelling at home in such a way that you are working? I know, you know, women who tell me that they have to go out of the home because, you know, it's so boring at home because all they've been doing is watching television or reading magazines or going garage sale after garage sale and only changing diapers and cooking, and it becomes boring after a while. And they say, man, I need fulfillment. Oh, for godly mothers, both young and old in Israel, who know the rich fulfillment of keeping the home. We live in that culture, you know, where parenthood is despised more and more. I bring to you the word of God and say to you on the basis of God's word that you can have a wonderful family life when you are devoted to the home. I'm not going to take the time, and I don't think that's necessary either, to list all kinds of details here and to start telling you that this is what you do or this is what you do not do. But I've spoken to my wife and I've spoken to other women folk, and when they are devoted to their husbands and to their children, they tell me it's so fulfilling, they don't have time for anything else. I mean, maybe they go out like my wife does to play tennis or learn piano, but they say they have so much to do at home. Just to be able to research, for example, on parenting, to read good books, to be able to transmit that knowledge to your children while you are cooking, teaching the children how to cook, while you are sewing, teaching the children how to sew, while you are in the home, you know, not just doing all these, what you people would call menial tasks, just, you know, to just do it, but really out of joy, so that the children in the home and the mother, the fathers in the home can sense that this is a happy family life. You know, you mothers can be so useful, you wives at home, to make sure that marriage is not desecrated. You ask the right questions so that the parent, the husbands, when they come home, they know that they cannot just get away with it. You are asking them, whether indeed they are devoted to the home, and you are together helping their husbands to make sure they are devoted to the children. Oh, there is so much blessedness in having a rich family life, where we can eat together, pray together, spend time together. Keepers at home have work to do. They have lots of work to do. I'm a full-time minister. I believe that ministers should be full-time. It takes their whole life and their whole heart. You mothers, I believe, have a glorious full-time calling to be full-time mothers. Why do you want to make that part-time? God has appointed to you to be keepers at home. If you have to do some work outside the home because you need income or for some other reason, I suggest to you that that indeed be very minimal and that you spend more and more time as keeper at home. What's the goal? In conclusion, in so doing, the Word of God here tells us that you honor His Word. The contrary is that you will begin to blaspheme the word of God. That's what the text tells us, that the word of God be not blasphemed or desecrated. So that hundreds and thousands of mothers are outside the home, and I say the word of God is desecrated because There's so much children delinquency going on. There's so much breakup in marriage. There's so much misunderstanding of the place of the woman. Again, there may be a place for that, but I ask you to consider the word of God, that by your godly example, the next generation will rise up and will say, what a blessed thing it is that we have godly women at home, mothers who care for their children, so that we have that home environment once again. May God give us grace that we rear our children so that our mothers be found at home, God-appointed workers with a wonderful joy and godliness in the home. Amen. Let us pray. God bless us that we may have mothers back in the home, and that for Jesus' sake. Amen.